Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Let's go Dutch! What's up, Oregon?
With Coin6 sportscaster AJ McCord.
You never believe you're out of a fight. You never believe you're out of a game. Where does that come from?
It's having some pride, having belief.
And Dusty, the fan man, Hera.
Jonathan Smith, Oregon State head football coach. Do you have a fullback that it will run his head through a wall?
Yeah, we've got that thought.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
I proved it up. I'm not running from nobody.
The Fan.
Number two, AJ and Dusty, which coming up this hour, the five games in the NFL that you need to see. Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune, Utah Utes beat writer will join us at 1:45. Dennis Dixon, ever heard of him? He'll join us at 2:30. Former Ducks quarterback. Pac-12 championship game tomorrow right here on The Fan. Pre-game coverage officially starts 24 hours from right meow, when Andy Dirt Johnson and Anthony Newman will take over for Ducks tailgate. We will be here unofficial pregame starting at noon.
Yes.
Got it.
We're the tailgate setup.
Yeah.
We're in charge of setting
you know
up
what?
The tailgate.
If to take a Patrick Harris, Washington State angle at this, you can't start day drinking without drinking the day before.
I think that logic holds up in Patrick's
that.
World.
Yep. That is what our hour is going to be.
Ah.
You can't start tailgating without drinking before.
Yeah.
Right?
Can't tailgate without tailgating before. So we are the pre-tailgate party.
And then 5 o'clock kick, Oregon and Utah. And I have this question, and I'd love to hear from Duck fans or Utah fan, because I said fan, because I'm assuming there's one out there. that lives in Portland. That's just like a Utah fan.
Or just Pac-12 fans.
You know, double barreling the world. Does this game have an extra layer of meaning for both Oregon and Utah heading into it because of what is happening here? These two teams, when you look at it, Oregon and Utah have appeared in the Pac-12 championship game more than anybody else, right? This is what, how many, three of the last 4 years for Utah?
Yep, three of the last 4 years, and the only one was last year that they didn't.
And this is the fifth trip to the Pac-12 championship game for Oregon.
And they've never lost.
They are 4-0.
There you go.
Winners. But the extra layer of meaning, because USC has appeared to figure their S out.
Yes.
Overnight. By that, not just firing Clay Helton, but hiring Lincoln Riley, the next big step after doing that. With USC, you know, trying to swing their sword and say, we're back and we are here. Mm-hmm. This is a massive Pac-12 championship game for continuing momentum for either one of these programs.
I think so, because Andrew Nemec had a tweet out this morning that was talking about, you know, we've been looking at recruiting impacts all week between now that USC has Lincoln Riley, and three of the top eight California recruits, are committed. Three of the top eight. Okay. All three of those are currently committed to Oregon.
Oh, ho, ho.
So, but that being said, now there's two or three of them that are deciding between USC and somebody else. Now, Did you say that Relique Brown just signed?
Relique Brown just committed to USC, yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense because he was deciding between USC and Oklahoma.
Okay. Oh, no way.
Stunning.
Weird.
So the other one is Domani Jackson out of Mater Dei, which is like in Santa Ana, California. Mm-hmm. And he's deciding between USC and Alabama. So the impact for this game is going to be fascinating because Utah has been a fixture for the South mm-hmm. outside of last year and the last 4 years. And then for Oregon, so Utah has to sort of, you know, put their flag in the ground and say, no, we're not going anywhere. We deserve to be in this Pac-12 title game and continue to make impressions on recruits while USC is doing the exact same thing. And for Oregon, it's a big deal too, because you have to assume you're competing for the same recruits that USC is going after. And this is your chance to rematch, which I think that's the important part of this too for Oregon, is that this isn't just how well can you play in a Pac-12 title game. This is how well can you coach, mm-hmm. how well can you play when you got embarrassed on national TV, one of the largest audiences this season too for college football, mm-hmm. like one of the most watched Oregon games, I think, in years. Anyway, but how can you coach, how can you play when just 2 weeks ago, this team embarrassed you? And recruits are going to be paying attention to that aspect, I think.
You see, and that's the thing. I do think for Oregon, it is a recruiting thing of, hey, USC is making their mark, and right. you have got to show, no. When it comes to the Pac-12, we are still kings of the Pac-12. Nothing is going to be changing, no matter who they hire, right? Mm-hmm. But for Utah, I think that it would be the statement of, we can win this conference because they have not done it before.
Yep.
They have not been able to win the Pac-12. In fact, the only South Division team to win the Pac-12 is USC.
Oh, wow.
When they beat Stanford.
Yep.
In 2017, when Darnold and Clay Helton went to a Rose Bowl.
There you go.
Now, for Utah, they've gone 0-4. This is their third trip in 4 seasons that they've gone. But if you look at it, the last, 5 Pac-12 championship games have been either Utah or USC. Mm. And they have not been able to win one. And like, this would be the, okay, we're still going to be relevant and hold this thing over. They're not competing for the same recruits as SC or Oregon, no. But it is a relevance in the Pac-12, because if they don't do it this year and USC does come charging back, when is it going to be for Utah?
Right.
And that's why it's huge for them. For Oregon, it is that, hey, we're going toe-to-toe with a lot of the same recruits mm-hmm. in their backyard. We have got to send a message. And they have not been able to do that.
Yeah.
They really have not, you know, they haven't been able to get over that hump and say, toe-to-toe, we're going to do it.
Yep.
And now SC's back. Yep. SC is back in Oregon for what, and when I say the toe-to-toe, get over that hump, it is the physical matchup that they just lost 2 weeks ago. Now it is kind of that reckoning time for Oregon.
And I think there's such a, there's an element of this game too, that you have to understand the emotions of both teams. And make no mistake, I know Oregon's coming in here hot, right? Verone McKinley told us they could put this ball down in a Walmart parking lot and we'd play. Like this Oregon team wants it bad.
Which I would enjoy to watch.
Ugh, so many scrapes. Well, no, thank you.
Oregon's already injured. Utah,
so let's
already injured.
Them more?
Yeah.
What?
Walmart parking lot. Let's go.
No. But you think about all that Oregon is playing for in this rematch. But then you think about what Utah has played through this season and the emotions that they have played through, the tragedies that community has suffered. Mm-hmm. And then you think about the fact that Kyle Whittingham knows, right? Like, this
For
is
sure.
one of his, like, we don't know when he's going to ride off into the sunset, right? But, like, if this is the chance for Utah to make that Rose Bowl, to win that Pac-12 title game, this is their best shot. And so there's going to be a lot of emotion on that Utah Ute sideline as well. And this goes back to, I talk about this with the NBA and roster construction all the time, is that it's not just the physical skills, it is the mental makeup.
Yep.
And both of these teams are going to be playing with a lot of emotion. And which team has the maturity, has the leadership to harness that emotion the best way possible into their play on the football field?
I'm really looking forward to this game because I do believe down in Salt Lake City, the 31-point win for Utah, that was the absolute best shot Utah could give Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And Oregon took it on the chin.
Yep.
And they got knocked out and they did not get back up. And the end of that second quarter, it unraveled so quickly in a game where you said, all right, things aren't going their way, but we've seen this team battle back. We've seen them come out in the third quarter and change their fortunes before. And the way that that third quarter ended, it was like, nope, that was the knockout blow. Utah delivered. And mind you, Utah delivered it, right? It wasn't that Oregon just said here, although that punt return sure felt like it, but they were up 21-0 before.
Right.
Before they got them in the jugular, that was like, it was a death blow that they gave Oregon. And so if you look at, will the momentum in that snowball just roll down the hill like it did a couple weeks ago? I don't think so. And you're on a neutral site.
Yes.
You are in a neutral site for this game. And if you believe it, Vegas has it as a 2.5-point spread.
Jeez.
2.5 points in favor of Utah, but it's only 2.5 because you're going to a neutral site.
Mm-hmm.
And what worked for Utah is who they are. That's their identity, right? And that's the scary part if you're an Oregon fan is that they said, 3-4 tight ends, run the ball down your throat. Yeah, well, we can do that.
Yep.
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
We love to do that. And the ease in which they were able to do it is the concerning part if you're an Oregon fan. But you know what's coming this time.
Yep. I also think it's going to be so interesting to see the turnout in Allegiant Stadium because when I was at Levi's Stadium for the 2019 Pac-12 title game that Oregon won and went to the Rose Bowl afterwards, the turnout was, I mean, the weather was miserable, but the turnout was okay, but it wasn't like stellar. That stadium in Vegas, I think, is going to draw even like the college football fans, right? Like not just Oregon and Utah fans, but I think it's going to draw just fans of football. And so I'm curious to see how that plays out tomorrow as far as any advantage that one team has over the other.
Well, we already got a text from Mike in Salem who's sitting in a Phoenix bar waiting his flight to Vegas.
There you go.
So Mike from Salem in Phoenix going to Vegas. I do know of more Duck fans that are heading down this year than there were to Santa Clara.
Really?
Really ever.
Yeah. Because I like Utah.
Terrible.
There was a decent amount of Utah fans in Santa Clara.
Yep. They're going to travel.
Yeah.
The Utah will travel.
I think it's also the COVID thing, you know. A lot of people haven't been able to travel as much.
Oh, yeah.
Now
yeah.
You're kind of, restrictions are eased a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to give somebody an excuse to go to Vegas?
Sure.
And that stadium is going to be so cool. I also think for the players, I mean, I'm not saying Levi Stadium is like anything atrocious. It's not the old Qualcomm. But Allegiant Stadium to play in one of the, top two or three now stadiums in the country, in the NFL, with how new it is and all the bells and whistles that it's got there. That's going to be a really cool experience for the players and also a thing to manage, right? I remember covering when Arkansas would go down to play A&M in Jerry World, and it was a thing. They had to talk through playing in that under that big of a, under those lights and that bright stage. So, interesting.
Even in the SEC, huh?
Jerry's
World is just like when you walk in, it's
overwhelming.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a weird experience because even I was like, okay, yeah, it's just another stadium. What?
Yeah.
And on the outside, it just looks like another stadium.
Right.
You get inside and it's a different beast. I don't know. I haven't heard about that from Allegiant.
I haven't either. I'm curious to.
But there's a lot of details in that stadium that are just incredible.
So pretty.
Yeah. It is pretty incredible when you hear about what it is. I want to go down there and see it though. I'm kind of bummed I'm not.
Yeah, what the heck?
Ducks in flight right now down to Allegiant Stadium in Vegas.
I wonder.
In the air.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Your feedback, 503-250-1080. We actually got some good texts on this. Coming up this hour, we have Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune, Utah football beat writer. We also got the five coming up at 1:30. Five best games in the NFL this weekend. But some good news for Oregon fans, too. AJ and Dusty.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
503-250-1080. This is an interesting one. When we were talking about going down to the Pac-12 championship game, I had some buddies that just were saying, what the F? Airline ticket prices.
It's bad.
Because it was, they're gouging because they know, all right, we're going to crank this one up. Says, I've got game tickets, but I can't get to Vegas. $1,200 not nonstop right now to get there.
Wow.
And then we had another texter who came in, different number, just picked up the one-way ticket to Vegas for $250 connecting through Chicago. I leave at 11:30 tonight and get in at 9:15 tomorrow morning.
Ugh. I mean,
because it makes sense to go from Portland to Chicago down to Vegas.
So I think I told you all.
Travel.
Geography. I was stranded in Vegas a few months ago briefly, and it's like a 15-hour car drive. So I wonder what it would be to do a one-way rental of a car.
Just coming back? I don't know.
No, going down and then fly back on Monday.
Well, I don't know.
I don't either. But I'm telling you, it's like a 15-hour drive. And if I'm going through Chicago,
you know what I like? Where your head's at.
I'm just
what you just said, you know what light bulb went off in my head?
Uh-oh.
Rent a car down.
What about a train?
And then I win my money back. I can take first class on the way back because I know I'm winning.
Or can we take a train? We talked about how great trains are.
Yeah. Ride the rails.
Is there a train?
I'm sure it's going to take a while to get back. I'm sure there's a train.
I'll find a train.
503-250-1080. This text, you know, we were talking about how big of a game this is for Oregon because of the fact that it's also, you said it's a gut check almost mm-hmm. for Oregon.
I think it's a maturity check is what it is. I think it's a how can you handle there's going to be emotions, yeah. right? And Mario Cristobal has talked about that with us on this show before. But I think that you, it's a maturity check of how do you handle your emotions and put it into your play.
And this is where, you know, a texter says, Oregon proved that they're back against a physical Beaver team. Now, Oregon, and this is what we were talking about before the game, like, it was good to see that a team that prides itself on physicality and Oregon handled them the way that they did in Oregon State, especially the first half. Mm-hmm. But as I said, leading up to the Civil War, like, or the Oregon State game, it is a different level of physicality that Utah brings. Because Oregon State will throw, you know, Tegan Quintoriano and Luke Musgrave all at tight end, and then bring in Jack Coletto as an H-back, fullback type guy. Utah will bring three or four legitimate blocking tight ends that can also release down the field on delayed release and get those easy yards receiving, a la right before the half when they run a slant to, was it Cluthi? Is that his name? I always forget how to pronounce his name, but they hit that slant against Jamal Hill and it went for 50 plus, right? Yep. Give him an extra 30 yards trying to punch the ball out. But they've got the dual faceted weapons that pose a bigger problem physically. Mm-hmm. And that, I'm sorry, but whoever that left tackle is, what's it, number 77, who's like 6'7" and he's got the nose ring, like the barbell through nose ring. That dude is a monster. And he's British, I think.
Oh.
Utah's left tackle. He's a mountain of a human being.
That's cool.
Yeah. And
You're trying to get through him.
Unless you're trying to get through him. Oregon State doesn't have people like that on their roster. And this will be the ultimate, all right, hey, you the Oregon Ducks on both sides of the ball. And this is the thing, too, is that it wasn't just defensively. Offensively, they were in for 63 yards. Like, you cannot have that happen on both sides of the ball again. If one side happens, you may get away with it. If both sides happens again, it's going to get ugly again. And I don't expect that to. I truly and honestly do not expect that to. It was Murphy's Law in Salt Lake City. If it can't go wrong, it will go wrong.
Yes.
I don't think you're going to see that again.
I don't think so either, especially because of the neutral site, especially because of the energy both teams are going to bring. I think we're going to get a good game out of it. I hope we're going to get a good game out of it.
I do too. And I think that we will, because Oregon is the one, again, you got the best shot. Two, Oregon's got a whole hell of a lot that they're playing for still. Yes. And that is the fun part about this. I think that you get two teams that are going to be dialed in, locked in, and you're going to get haymakers tomorrow night. And that's what you want. I mean, as the one texter points out, the only thing that you would want is, you know, it to be on a Saturday instead of a Friday. But here we are, 5:00. Let's go.
I know. I do think it's not as great for people watching the game, but I don't hate the time slot.
No.
Not the worst.
No, because guess what? You go up against the SEC or the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You're getting the same amount of viewers anyways.
What's the emoji a plate mean? Because that guy, number 77, Bam Odaolanisi, the tackle, posted on Instagram a picture of him blocking Kayvon Thibodeau effectively. He just has a bunch of plate emojis.
Like he's not going to eat, or I'm going to eat.
Or he's strong. Let's go ahead. Yeah, eating.
That's what I think. Because like when you
eat.
Well, like when you're talking about like why does Zeke always does the, you know, he's eating after he runs. Like
every 3 yard gain.
Okay. If when he was running really well, it was, a little bit more impressive. But maybe that's what it has to do with is like, you know, someone's got to eat and he's saying it's going to be him.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, he looks strong.
It's going to be me. Is that it? I don't know. I don't.
What's
he's a big human
Twitter?
Being, though, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, he's putting.
He did Kayvon a hell of a job against him.
Yeah, he's putting him on blast here on Instagram.
Oh, it's on Instagram.
Perfect. We get social media beef heading into this.
Yeah.
I think that's necessary.
All right. Well, we're here for it. We still got great news for Oregon fans. And great news for Oregon fans means somewhere else is a complete and utter disaster. You'll take it.
Yeah, this is bad.
Yep. Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune, gives us the Utah perspective heading into the rematch between the Ducks and the Utes. But coming up next, the five best games in the NFL that you need to have your eyes on. Will we finally have a Thursday night game involved?
Oh?
AJ and Dusty on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Meet you downstairs in the bar and heard your rolled up sleeves in your skull t-shirt.
All right, it's time to give you the five best games in the NFL. Not to be confused with a traffic report for Interstate 5 or I-5.
The five.
Mm. We're going to give you five games across the National Football League that are of intrigue and of note. I think that for the first time in quite some time, we've got Thursday Night Football.
Whoa!
On it. Tonight, Dallas, 5-point favorites or 5.5-point favorites, according to BetMGM, taking a visit to New Orleans. And look, you got two teams that are trying to get off of the skids. Dallas losing two in a row. The Saints losers of four straight games.
Yikes.
I love this game.
I do too. Just because, again, it's like, I don't know who you are. Like, I don't know who the Cowboys are going to have to come off of that emotional loss on Thanksgiving. And then you have the Saints who are starting Taysom Hill.
Yeah, they're starting Taysom Hill. They don't have either one of their starting tackles. You've got Mike McCarthy out due to COVID. I think you have your offensive line coach, Joe Philbin, starting right tackle, is out in COVID protocols in Dallas. Like, it is their support staff is what's really gotten hit, but you're going to be without your right tackle as well. Not great news for Dallas, but I still think they cover. They're 5.5-point favorites. I think they cover this game because of how depleted the New Orleans Saints are and how well Dallas's defense is playing.
I agree. And I think that, so I'm not going necessarily in watching order here, but I think that that game is all the more intriguing because if you look at the NFC East, the Washington football team, don't look now, they're nipping on their heels a little bit, and they are winners of three straight, including last week's debacle that the Seahawks played in. They beat Tampa Bay, Carolina, and then Seattle. They have Vegas this week. Vegas 6-5 right now. Currently the bottom of the AFC West, but only one game out of the top of the AFC West because that division is just a logjam. It's Kansas City at the top with 7-4. Then the Chargers, Broncos, and Raiders in that order based on head-to-heads and all that jazz at 6-5.
The football team's been playing well. I mean, they've won three games in a row. Vegas, I don't know how they're holding this thing together with Band-Aids throughout the year. They're 2.5-point favorites. This is a tight line.
Mm-hmm.
Carr has been so much better than he has in years past.
I agree.
He is not nearly as loose with the ball as he has been in the past. I enjoy watching the Las Vegas Raiders.
I know.
Regardless of if John Gruden is there calling plays or not, they're a fun team to watch. I like Vegas in this game. You have to have Washington coming all the way across country and going to be going into Vegas. It's going to be, I think that's going to be a fantastic game. Give me the Raiders, though.
Okay.
Woo.
I like that. Next game, Chargers and the Bengals.
That game on Coin.
Yes, it is.
Your home.
Yes, it is.
10 a.m. kick.
In fact, shameless plug. We go from that. I believe we have that game, and then we have the Niners and the Seahawks, and then Dennis and I are going to do a live post game show. So don't watch the football. Watch for the post game.
Watch for the post game show after. Yeah. This is an interesting matchup because of the fact that not only is it Herbert versus Burrow,
right?
But you got two teams that are scratching and clawing for their playoff relevancy here and going in kind of different directions with, you know, the Chargers taking a big L on the chops to the Broncos last weekend and showing their inconsistencies abound. Well, don't look now, since Cincinnati's won two in a row and they've been pretty dang impressive beating the Raiders and then stomping the Steelers, and they finally get to go back or play again at home. After beating up on Pittsburgh, it's a tough trip to go L.A. to Cincy, especially after you got your butts kicked on the road in Denver.
Yeah, I would agree. Speaking of Denver, that's the fourth game for me. Broncos, Kansas City. I just think this is obviously going back to AFC West ties, but I think that that game is always a very, very good one. But Kansas City, winners of four straight. The Broncos have won three of their last four. And so I think this is going to be a good game. And again, that AFC West is just so tight that this game will matter, period. Like, this game will matter for the playoff picture, whether it's in form of head-to-head tiebreakers or in terms of who wins the division. Something is going to be at stake, and it's going to come back to this game.
See, I have no idea what to think of the Denver Broncos. All I do know, one thing is for certain, is that Kansas City, after being written off early in the season, they are now leaders of that division. And Denver has won three of their last four, but they lose to the Eagles. They beat the Cowboys. They beat the football team, which we just got done saying, football team, winners of three straight. Their last loss was to the Denver Broncos.
Right.
And then they go and they absolutely manhandle the Chargers last week, but inexplicably is a loss to the Eagles in there.
Yep.
What team is going to show up? But if you look at what Denver does very well, they don't have to bring pressure to make quarterbacks uncomfortable. And if you can do that against Patrick Mahomes, you're going to have a leg up. I like Denver to cover because it's 9.5.
Yeah.
I don't like them to win, but 9.5 seems like a lot.
This Denver team is so bizarre, too, because they have so many injuries. They're so up. They're so down. And I just read this. Kansas City's won this matchup 11 times in a row.
Hey, yikes.
Yikes. But whoever wins on Sunday is going to take the lead in the division, but it just won't. Obviously, the division's not decided after Sunday.
Final game, Monday Night Football.
And this is not just because of your fandom that we picked this game.
No, it is to get you to admit the Patriots are good. Buffalo, 2.5-point favorites over New England in Monday Night Football.
I have no problem in admitting that the Patriots are a good football team. Ooh, I don't have to mark that. I don't have to like that.
Can we make it just mark? Don't say that last part. Cut that last part out.
The last part. There we go. We're gonna edit that out. Yeah, I have no problem. The Patriots are riding this ship after we were a little concerned with how the way the season started in New England. But I think this goes back, and again, I don't know who the Buffalo Bills are. My gosh. But I think New England, they just continue to prove that they are still the dominant team that has been in New England for freaking multiple decades. It just happens to have a new quarterback, but Bill Belichick is still one of the best coaches out there, if not the best, as far as getting his team ready to go.
Six straight games New England has won, longest winning streak in the NFL, and it's been like the whole, at the beginning of the year with Mac Jones, it was pulling the reins back, and then they kind of let their little birdie fly out of the nest, and he crashed against the Cowboys. He has been very good, and they've been letting him exercise a little bit more freedom in the offense the last few weeks. The Patriots are a good team, but in that beatdown over the Titans was surprising.
Yes.
I mean, that was surprising. They've beat some teams, though, that are like, all right, yeah, you hammer the Browns. Who hasn't hammered the Browns lately, right? this is question. A...
You barely beat the Texans. Well, midway.
They beat some teams though that are roller coasters.
Right.
The Chargers, the Browns, the Titans were steady though, and they hammered them.
Yep.
Now you get a Bills team, which is one of the best rosters in the NFL. They're at home in Buffalo.
Yep.
Very tough place to play. I think this is where we really find out who both of these teams are.
Yeah, I think so.
And
too.
I expect a great game.
I think it's going to be a very, very good game. Definitely a much better Monday night game than last Monday night.
And I will take New England in the getting 2.5 points.
I'm
kidding
so
me?
Surprised.
No, I'll pick against them. I'll pick against them.
Yeah?
I think that 6 wins in a row, though, their defense is insane right now.
I would agree with that.
And Josh Allen, I think I looked this up earlier today. But I think of his interceptions this year, he's thrown 7 of his 10 interceptions in the last 4 weeks.
Yikes.
So it hasn't been, I mean, you look at the correlation there. Yeah, it's 7 of his 10 interceptions have been in the last 4 games. 2 against the Saints, 2 against the Colts, 1 against the Jets, and 2 against Jacksonville.
And did you remember, it's like we've seen Mac Jones adopt the identity of his head coach. Remember that video that came out a few weeks ago? And it was like at the very beginning in training camp, Mac Jones is like, oh, I'm so excited to be here. This is going to be so much
fun.
I love football.
Doing?
How are you? Talking about, you know, friendly conversation. Now it's like, yeah, we're just moving on.
We've got
practice today, and then we're going to take on Buffalo.
The NFL will beat it out of you.
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick will beat it out of you. All right. A couple weeks ago in Salt Lake City, it was a beatdown. 31-point beatdown the Utes handed Oregon. Salt Lake Tribune, Utah beat writer Josh Newman will join us next to talk about Volume 2, the rematch.
Hey.
Oregon Utes, next on The Fan.
I have no problem in admitting that the Patriots are a good football team.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
A rematch of a game that happened just a couple of weeks ago between Oregon and Utah is coming back for the Pac-12 championship game right here on The Fan tomorrow. Oregon, Utah, and to talk about that game and whatever is from the Salt Lake Tribune, Josh Newman covers the Utes football team. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you guys having me again.
You know, we talked about this. We talked about this before the game, but the first time they met, Utah and Oregon, and kind of the physical brand of football that both of these teams play and kind of pride themselves on. Utah undoubtedly won that battle in Week One in the first matchup in a big way. Coming out of that game, though, what was the feeling in the talk about the way Utah handled Oregon in that first matchup?
Look, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think a lot of people were a little taken aback. Not that Utah won that game, but just how the Utes won that game. It was completely one-sided. They dominated all three phases. The offensive line won up front, which was obviously a huge factor. They ran for a lot of yards. Again, not surprised Utah won, but just, you know, how they won. It was just completely one-sided. I don't know what positives Oregon was taking out of that game. Now, look, Oregon looked better last week against Oregon State, right? They righted the ship, but, you know, you go into this game tomorrow night, right? Second time in 13 days, you're probably not going to see a ton of wholesale changes. You know, obviously tweaks, adjustments here and there for both teams, but it was so completely one-sided the first time that I'm having a bit of a hard time, you know, justifying how I could pick Oregon. I just don't see it.
What has been the talk and the vibe around Utah this week? Because Oregon has obviously been the final whistle blew in the Oregon State game and they were ready to talk about Utah. They want this rematch badly. And there's a lot of, I think, emotion riding behind this game for Oregon. What has been the talk from Utah?
Yeah, I think, in the limited interaction we had with coaches and players this week, I think everybody's pretty even keeled. You know, they understand that, you know, if they don't win this game, right, the one 2 weeks ago doesn't mean anything. Mm. Now, remember, this is a young Utah team. I think like 60% of the roster has freshman or sophomore eligibility, but a lot of the older guys were in the 2018 title game that they lost to Washington. Mm-hmm. A lot of the guys were in the 2019 title game where they were number five in the playoff rankings, got blown out by Oregon. So I think there is a sense of, you know, unfinished business, you know, wanting to get over the hump, wanting to get this program over the hump. Look, guys like Britton Covey, been through a lot. Devin Lloyd, Nick Ford, Vontae Davis, you know, Cam Rising hasn't been here for, you know, those title games. He was here in 2019, but he redshirted. He's an older guy. He's been to a Sugar Bowl with Texas. He understands, you know, the big game mentality, trying to stay even keeled, right? Not too high, not too low. It's been a very business-like approach for Utah this week.
We're talking with Josh Newman. Salt Lake Tribune covers Utah football. We were just talking about this a couple segments ago, but what is it? Olaseni, the big left tackle on the outside, just a mountain of a human being. But on his Instagram, he had his highlights of dominating Kayvon Thibodeau up and posting those. You've got this big physical O-line, and I just have so many questions about Olaseni because he's from England. His background in football, he came over, played high school football over in the States. This guy seems like one of the most interesting men in all of college football, including the barbell through his nose and his nose ring.
Yeah, he's, as you said, he is just a gigantic human being. He's like 6'8". I think they have him listed at like 335, which is an absolute lie, okay? He's never even 335. But, you know, you see this guy from afar, and he looks very intimidating, but then you get next to him, you start talking to him, he's quick with a smile, he's gregarious, but he's come a long way. You know, his full background is not in American football. As you said, he's from London, you know, played some rugby, played a little bit of football, comes over here, junior college guy, was very rough around the edges when Utah got him. And to Utah's credit, they've been very patient over a number of years with Olaseni. And, you know, it didn't happen quickly. It didn't even happen at the beginning of this season, I don't think, but something at some point clicked for him, and he is playing at a very, very high level, especially over the last 6, 7, 8 weeks. I think Kyle Whittingham on Monday called Olaseni the best left tackle in the Pac-12. And, you know, here we are, another, you know, high stakes, high leverage spot, Olaseni against Kayvon Thibodeau, presumably, obviously. And obviously that's an important matchup. Cam Rising has not been sacked in, I think I lost track. I don't think Cam Rising has been sacked in like 6 weeks, might be 7 weeks. And a lot of that is because of the play of Bam Olaseni on that left side.
And now you mentioned he came in rough around the edges, and that just seems to be like, how many times do we say that about Utah football players and these guys who end up becoming stars? When it comes to talent development in that eye for talent, it can't just be Kyle Whittingham alone. How is Utah able to develop talent so well at a variety of positions?
It's not easy. I don't know if there's one answer to that question. There's certainly, you know, an art, I guess you could say, to, you know, watching a high school prospect and trying to project, you know, not only what they could be 3, 4, 5 years down the road, but what position they could be 3, 4, 5 years down the road. I think a perfect example for the player development aspect at Utah is Devin Lloyd. Devin Lloyd was a 2-star, 3-star safety in high school. Didn't have a ton of offers. He was committed to, I believe, to UNLV originally. Utah offers his only Power 5 offer, so they flipped him. He commits. They redshirt him, and I'm not talking about like 4 games and you can sit. No, they redshirted him as a freshman. You know, put him in the weight room, and they switched positions. He came in as a safety. They turned him into a linebacker. And 5 years later, I'm seeing first-round projections inside the top 10, right? He's going to be all Pac-12 for a third time. He's a Butkus Award finalist. That is just the highlight type of deal in terms of player development that, you know, as Utah goes out and recruits the next generation of guys, they should really be pointing to Devin Lloyd and how far he has come.
Now, one of the players that really wreaked havoc on the Ducks the last time out was Tavion Thomas. He ran for 94 yards, 3 touchdowns. How have you seen this offense? Obviously, we've seen Cam Rising rise and, like, figure things out offensively. But how have you seen this offense really start to marry the run game and the pass game effectively heading into this time of the year when they know they're going to have a massive game in the title game against Oregon and then whoever their bowl game is.
It's been a really interesting, you know, season with the offensive line. Now, look, normally the offensive line and the run game, like, that's what Utah does. Mm-hmm. Like, they run the ball, they block up front, they, you know, they win the battle up front. But this season, you know, the offensive line had some injuries in camp, some injuries early in the season, inexperience early in the season. And even as the season has gone along, they've still had these, like, small nagging things, like a guy will miss a game. You know, Nick Ford, who's their center, had to kick outside to left guard. And they've really had to mix and match here, and they've had to go into their depth. And it really hasn't mattered. You know, despite whatever injuries, despite whatever shifting left to right, right to left, they're dominating up front. And they're, you know, they're averaging 215, 220 yards a game rushing. And Thomas is a big part of that. You know, he had, look, he wasn't here for spring practice. He was like a late junior college get in May. Mm. So I think, you know, speaking for myself as a beat writer, you didn't really know what you were getting out of Tavion Thomas. You know, you knew he had the size at like 6'2", 230, but you didn't know what he would be. Comes in here, he's a little bit out of shape. They took care of that in camp. He had fumble problems early in the season. I think it was 3 or 4 fumbles inside the first 3 games, and he sat for like 3 weeks. Mm. And it, you know, it came back around to him, and he's kind of had this toward the force of the season. You know, he's got 18 touchdowns. He'll get to 1,000 yards here for the season on Friday. I mean, I don't know if he is, you know, the Pac-12 offensive player of the year, but he certainly should be, you know, within the 3 or 4, you know, realistic, legitimate options for that award. It's just been, it's been quite a rise for Tavion Thomas, and that is happening behind an offensive line that has really had to circle the wagons like more than once here this fall.
This is the third Pac-12 championship game in the last 4 years for Utah. They are 0-2 in their previous trips to the Pac-12 championship game. With USC seemingly starting to figure their ass out down there, does it feel like this one means a little bit more for Utah to finally get over that hump in the South?
I think that has been a pretty significant talking point amongst the fans this week. As the Lincoln Riley news unfolded, you see what he's doing here in terms of recruiting, right, in the early days of his tenure at USC. So, yeah, among the fans, yeah, there is a sense that, okay, they need to get this one because here comes Lincoln Riley, here comes USC. They're going to dominate the South for, you know, however many years to come. I don't necessarily disagree with that. But I'm a little more willing to take a breath and consider, like, look, Utah is here now. Mm. But, again, Utah is, like, 60% freshmen and sophomores. You know, even with, like, natural attrition, you know, guys will transfer, guys will go to the NFL. I still think Utah can still be right there, you know, to win the South, to win the Pac-12, not only this year, but going into 22 and 23 also.
The other thing before we let you go is the obviously Kyle Whittingham has deserved so much credit for doing for being able to lead this team after so many off the field tragedies happening within this program. Had there been any chatter about his future if they win or if they go to the Rose Bowl or if they lose for that matter?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've all seen the chatter, you know, from John Wilner over at the Mercury News. You know, there was a Sports Illustrated thing quoting sources talking about, you know, Kyle Whittingham might retire. None of that is rooted in fact. It's kind of rooted in assumptions and hypotheticals. Now, with that said, I don't think it's unreasonable for people to consider the possibility of Kyle retiring. Now, look, mm-hmm. he just turned 62. He has already said publicly that he does not intend to coach past 65. So that's one thing. You know, the fact that two players have died within 9 months, plus the pandemic and everything that's gone along with that, we don't know what the physical, emotional, spiritual toll of that has been on Kyle. That's another thing. Look, he's a father of 4. He's a grandfather of 6. Kyle's own father, Fred Whittingham, died when he was 64. That's not, you know, that's a fact that's not lost on Kyle. So, look, nothing imminent, nothing really rooted in fact, but I don't necessarily want to hammer people who want to talk about this, because there, you know, there are some fair points to be made that, you know, win or lose Friday, win or lose the Rose Bowl. Yeah. I wouldn't rule out the possibility that Kyle calls it a career.
Well, we didn't get to much whatever. We just stuck to Utah and Oregon in this one. Josh Newman, Salt Lake Tribune. Maybe we'll have you on again and we'll talk more of whatever. Just whatever's on your mind. Thank you for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
This is a big game, and I think that he even said it. Utah knows it's a big game too. It feels like it feels almost as if it's bigger for Utah than it is for Oregon. And a Rose Bowl is on the line for both.
I think, it's interesting to hear him because we obviously heard right here when he was on the show on Tuesday, we heard sort of the passion from Verone McKinley about this game in particular and how badly they want it, right? And then to hear that the Utah camp is very steady and very businesslike and very even keeled, that's something that if I'm a Ducks fan, again, it comes back to that maturity and how you handle the emotion of the game. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out.
All right. Special thanks to Josh Newman. All right. Hour number three, we'll have Dennis Dixon, former Duck, on at 2:30. About good news for Oregon next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.